You know, and I like to do that also, and hopefully you all do too, is to tell that old story of what happened. Because there's so much that happened. So much went on. And what we found is because Ruth and I are constantly doing Bible studies, and one of the things that we found, especially in one of the Bible studies that she's doing, is just because it happened 2,000 years ago, that means it's not going on today. It's like the same thing keeps happening over and over. And when you read your Bible, you see these things and you go, oh, that happened 2,000 years ago. That happened 3,000, 5,000 years ago. Do I really want to let it happen again? And so I like telling the old stories and going back and reading. Some people don't like the Old Testament. But one of the things that I like about the Old Testament is it shows God's character. It shows who He is. And in the Old Testament, He is who He says He is, and He does what He says He's going to do. And what I see in the New Testament, which is still an old story, but it's part of the New Testament, is it shows us God's love. And the love that God has for us. Like what that song was talking about. And communion, it's a time of reflection and remembrance. A time to spend time with Jesus, with all of us together. And we celebrate the Lord's Supper as a weekly reminder of the gift that God has given us in His Son, Jesus Christ, to wash away our sins, to keep us covered in the blood of God, the blood of Christ, and to remember Jesus' sacrifices and the things He did on our behalf. He didn't even know us. He didn't even know who we were at the time. He didn't know who Mike Bitter was. He knew there were people that were going to come who needed Him. And He knew that Mike Bitter was going to need Him for what was going on, for what was going on in this world now. And He knew that the world would need Him, for God so loved the world. He sent His Son. He still loves the world, and He's still here. We carry it in our hearts. Communion is a way to remember that. And the table's open to all who have given their life to Jesus Christ. And that's what the disciples had done. And that's what we find out on Friday nights, is that those disciples had given their life to Christ. And that night, Jesus took the bread, and when He blessed it, He broke it. And He offered it to His disciples. He didn't say, you have to take this. He offered it to them. He said, take, eat, this is My body given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. And in the same way, He took the wine. And when He was blessed it, He said, take, drink. This is the blood of the new covenant given for you for the forgiveness of your sin. Every time you drive in the parking lot, you don't hit a big hole. I don't know about you guys, but that drove me crazy. I had to call and say, hey, you've got to give us an estimate. And Not only that, but when I talked to the person, he said, you know what, I can have the gravel there this afternoon, and by this weekend I'll have it done. And I'm like, wow, this is great. The carpeting, everything else that's happening in the church. And we'll talk about this in a couple weeks when we have a planning meeting with the cost of natural gas, and I think everybody has seen their bills gone up. I think ours either doubled or tripled here at the building. It was like, whoa. But I knew it was coming, and we knew it was coming. We just keep our eyes on Jesus, and we know that God's going to take care of things. This isn't my house. This isn't Ruth's house. This is God's house. God wanted it open. The person that kept this open as a church for 2 years, he didn't keep it open. God kept it open. He just maintained that he was the caretaker of it. Speaking of caretaker, yeah, that's what I am. I'm a caretaker. Caretaker, grounds maintainer. Yeah. Stay out of their ways kind of guy. So your offering is beneficial. It helps us so much. Keep things going and keep us and this church moving forward and keep the doors open. And one of the things that I realized is as I look back on my life, I sometimes realize that every time I thought I was being rejected, it wasn't a rejection from something good. It was more like it was a redirection. I was being redirected to something better. And sometimes that hurts. And one of the things, I was reading something one time, and what it said was is that we have rough edges. And what God does is he sands off those rough edges. And I don't know if you've ever done that with a piece of wood, but sometimes I could just feel that wood going, oh, that kind of hurts. That rough edge, those splinters, those things that are splinters to other people, just kind of rub them off so it's nice and smooth. And that's what God wants. He doesn't, it's not about rejection. But sometimes I see us not wanting to go this way or that way, and God's like, I tried. Here we go. I'm putting up the roadblocks. And we run right into it. So I thought that was a good one. Oh, reach out this month. We're going to do this next week. Next week. We're going to fill the to-go bags for taking it to the streets. We're so excited. Again, this is part of how we reach out to the neighborhood. And we reach out to people. We're getting spun up. We're this spring. Oh, my gosh. I can't even imagine what we're going to be doing. And that's what God tells me. Mike, you can't. Because you don't know what I know. And I don't know what Ruth knows and Lucy knows and Glenda knows and Jerry knows and Jim knows and Jane knows and Deb knows and John knows. I don't know what you guys know, but God does. And God has a way of putting it all together. Because we all have certain skill sets. And y'all just jump right in. And tell me to get the heck out of the way. It's like I come in during the week and the guys are like, hi, Mike. Just go on into your little room. I get it. But we're going to talk about the greatest thing in the world. Love. Guys, this is how they love me, though. You know, it's that rejection. And I'm going, oh, they're rejecting me. And God goes, oh, no, they're redirecting you. Get out of their way. Like I said last week, this is a great time to celebrate love. But actually, every day of every week, of every month, of every year is a great time to celebrate and share love. Share love with each other. Especially the love that Jesus Christ showed us. He showed us so much love while he was here. And even though I know it's not necessarily a Hollywood recreation, but The Chosen, it's like Jesus, just he doesn't get rattled. And there's just that calming peace around him. And I think it's that love. And he shows that love with everybody. And I've also found that obedience and love is tied together. And that our obedience to our Father, to what he tells us in his book, shows our love for him. He already showed his love for us. He gave us his Son, his one and only Son, to die for us. And what our Father has is our Father has love in the supernatural. It's the love that we don't see him. We can't put our arms around him. We can't touch him. And what happens is that love translates into the natural. Translates with how we are with each other. And how we care about each other. What we think about each other. And it's kind of like what Jesus said. This is nothing new. You heard it last week when we were talking about friends. And we started 2 weeks ago with hope. And how we can give people hope. And then last week what we talked about is thank you for being a friend. And this is one of the things that Jesus said. And it's about love. It's about being a friend. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. That's a lot of love. But one of the things that Jesus said before he said this is, if you love me, keep my commands. There's always an if-then with it. Because, yes, we get grace, and we get grace from Christ, but there's things that we have to do. And this is one way we show him how much we care, is by following his commands. Today we're going to talk about the greatest thing in the world, as written by Henry Drummond. I think this is one of the best books I've ever seen on love. Guys, this is my kind of book. This is like a weekend book. It's all scripturally based. And that's what my next few sermons are going to be based on, is this book, The Greatest Thing in the World. This book talks about how Paul interpreted Jesus' love for us and what it means to us in everyday life. And you've seen this also. We talked about this with hope. We talked about how hope put together, it's like the concrete, it's like the peanut butter in between two slices of bread, of faith and love. And you have to have faith to have hope. You have faith and hope to have love. But the greatest of these, the best of these, Paul said this over 2,000 years ago, and it still goes true today. The greatest of all of these is love. These aren't my words. These are his words. 1 Corinthians 13:13. And Hebrews has a great definition of faith. And I love Hebrews. It is Hebrews 11:1. And if you all are familiar with numerology, 11:11, 11:11, it means angels are with us. Which I think works great with Hebrews 11:1, where he said, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we did not see or what we do not see. Sometimes faith is tough, especially when we have the world coming against us, especially when we have all of those things coming against us, keeping faith in something that we do not see. And that's one of the things that Jesus told his disciples. And I believe it was John that quoted it. He said, the cool thing is, well, what he said is, there are people who see, but don't believe. He does miracles, but they still didn't believe in him. But he said, blessed are those who don't see and still believe. The beauty of this congregation, the beauty of us being here on 8th Avenue, is we see those miracles happening all the time. We see miracles that God does all the time for us. One of the things is we have faith in God is a prerequisite to hope. Hope in eternal life. Hope in salvation. And love is born out of faith and hope. When we hope for something, we develop a passion for it. We start wanting it so bad. We love it into existence. We make it happen. We actually love things into existence. But one thing that we don't have to love into existence is Christ. And Christ is love. Christ is a person, but he's love. He, just as love, is always going to be there for us, no matter what. Matthew 28, Jesus said, I will be with you even to the end of the ages. That's the last thing that Matthew wrote down. When we gave our lives to Christ, when we were saved, when we were pulled from the fire, when we were led out of harm's way, first thing is, we became free. We became free from sin. We're no longer slaves to sin. And what we did was we found unending, boundless love through Christ. Boundless love. Unconditional love. No matter what we did, that door was always open. Kind of sounds like what we do with our own kids, don't we? The Bible tells us, whosoever trusts in Him, whosoever trusts in God, because trust is the avenue to love, will have everlasting life. They'll forever live with Him in love. Can you imagine living in a world that has nothing but love? There's no hate. There's nobody going behind you. There's nobody doing bad things to you. It's all about everybody loving each other. The greatest thing in the world is found in the Gospels. They're filled with love. The Gospels offer man a life. I like the saying to never offer a man a thimbleful of the Gospel. It's like when a man's hungry, you give him a cracker. It's never enough. Don't give him a little. Share the Gospels with him. And I've had people tell me, they say, Mike, I don't know the Bible the way you do. I said, you don't need to know the Bible the way I do. You need to know the Bible the way you know the Bible. It may only be one verse. But you can share that with people. You can share that part of the Gospel. So you share it with 20 people, that one verse. And then maybe through that you find another verse. And you find something else. Do not offer merely joy or merely peace or merely rest or merely safety. Tell them how Christ came to give man a more abundant life than they have. A life abundant in love. And therefore abundant salvation for themselves. That's what we need to share with people. Abundant love is the key to an abundant life. Loving abundantly is to live abundantly, and to love forever is to live forever. There's a supernatural law that says to live for tomorrow is to love for tomorrow. You ever notice? And we talked about this with hope, but the same thing happens with love. Is that those who don't have love, they start giving up. Because if you take this verse backwards, you lose love. You start losing hope. You lose hope. You lose faith. It works one way as much as it does the other one. And if you don't have hope, you don't have faith or love. Or you'll see people start losing that. Nobody cares about me. I don't have faith in anybody. People that love something, I've noticed, they have a reason to live. Even if it's an animal. If it's a dog. If it's a cat. Something that will love them or something that they can love. And the thing is Paul calls love, he calls it the summum bonum. What that is that is the supreme good. What he's saying is there is nothing more than love. Supreme, 100%, unadulterated love. And for ages, people have searched for the supreme good. They've looked for it everywhere, trying to find, where's the supreme good? Where is the good of the good, the best of the best? You can only live one life once. So the sooner that you find this, the sooner that you're going to live abundantly. And you find this in Christ. The thing is that our entire lives, religious people have been told that the greatest thing in the world is faith. The 13th verse of Corinthians says, no, it's not. It's love. The greatest thing in the world, the greatest of all of these, is love. Love is even greater than faith. It's greater than hope. I believe that this is Christianity at its source, and that Christianity, well, love, is the source of all Christianity, because Jesus came to love. He came to show us love. He came to show us how to love. And he gave up his life as a sign of love for us. Paul immortalizes this love in 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move a mountain, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. Remember what I said, Christ is love. So let's change this around a little bit. Let's change love to Christ. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have Christ, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Even if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have Christ, I am nothing. I don't know about you, but I feel pretty sad for the people out there who don't have Christ. Three words, because they are nothing. Because they don't have Christ, but we do. And we can share that with them, and we can share that through them, with them through love. And they can see how we love one another, and they can see how we love them. No matter what they look like or what they've been through, because what they look like and what they've been through is something that's happened to them. And as Christians, we don't hold them that against them. And once they are saved, that's their past life. They're a new being. And we have to guide them also once they're saved. But Jesus ended this. This only... Whoops. Christ is therefore the greatest thing in the world. Yeah, I lost my pages. The summum bonum, the greatest thing, is love. Think about how love relates to God's commandments. If you loved God, truly loved God, unadulterated, unconditional, why would we have to be commanded to have no other gods? If we loved our neighbor, truly loved them, we wouldn't covet anything that they have. If we truly loved our wives, no matter what, willing to take a bullet for them, we wouldn't commit adultery. If we truly loved one another, why would we be commanded not to kill? If we had that love, and this is the kind of love I'm talking about, not the, oh, I love you, kissy, kissy. This is a serious kind of Christ love, because this is what Christ has given us. This kind of love. And I could go on and on through the commandments and on through the things that God commands us to do. Why would he have to command those if we truly love? Love is pivotal. Love is the epitome. It's the summum bonum of life, just like Paul said. When Jesus was asked by the Pharisees, which of these commandments is the greatest? He quoted only two commandments, and both of them started with love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That's the first commandment. The second commandment is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus even went on to make this superlative. Take it one step further. This is the ultimate when he said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All the law hang on those two commandments. Both of them start with love. Is that great or what? It's the greatest thing in the world. You have love inside of you, so share it. Don't keep it inside of you. I like what Oscar Hammerstein II said. A bell isn't a bell till you ring it. A song isn't a song until you sing it. Love in your heart isn't put there to stay. Love isn't love till you give it away. So let's give some love away this week and every week. Over the next few weeks, we're going to continue talking about love and what it means to be loved based upon what God asks us to do. So stay with us to get the full story. This week, reach out. Reach out to someone who you might feel is lacking in love. Maybe they're alone. Maybe they don't have anyone else. Maybe all they need is a hug. Maybe all they need is a wave. When I was in high school, we had a rash of suicides. For some reason, guys decided to check out of the world. And I went, what can I do? And I got to thinking as I was walking through the halls. Nobody said hi to anybody else. Guess what? Nobody cared. For somebody that is in that mode, they may say, nobody cares. Nobody cares about me. Nobody looks at me. Nobody smiles. Nobody waves. So I started going down the hall saying hi to everyone. How you doing? Good to see you. Hey. Pretty soon it caught on. And I'm like, if that's all it takes to save one person's life. That was when I was a kid. What does it take to save someone's soul? Which is even more important than saving someone's life, because that's eternal. Reach out to those people. Remember, not only to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, but also learn to love your neighbor as yourself. Spend time thinking about that this week. What about your neighbor? What about loving your neighbor? What do you know about your neighbor? By doing these things, we're going to spread the gospel of Jesus, which is what Matthew 28 says. Go out and make disciples of all nations. Spread the gospel. Tell the world about it. This is how we're going to do that. This is how we're going to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you will also live a fuller and more abundant life. You'll feel it. You'll feel it happening. When you give it away, love isn't love till you give it away. If you keep it inside of you, you may think it's love, but is it really if you're not sharing it with anyone? You know, it's like faith and hope are things that you have. Love is something that you give away, that you share with someone else. Share your love with others. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing us here today and showing us your kindness, your compassion, and your love. The love you showed us by sending your Son Jesus Christ to die for us and for our sins, so we may have eternal life. Show us how to love others, to love the unloved, to reach those who need a helping hand or they just need a friend. Help us break through all the hatred and divisiveness in the world to a place of love, a place we can love others so they will have hope, happiness, and a purpose in life, your purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I want to give you the opportunity to give your life to the Lord. If today is today, if you've been moved to do that today, just say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. If you say that simple prayer, we believe that you've been born again. Stay tuned right here. Get into a Bible-based church. Share your love with other people. We love you. We care about you. And we can't wait to see you right back here again next time. Okay?